Magic Monday. Welcome to Magic Monday. Yes, I'm being completely facetious. Don't mean it at all. I'm as insincere as can be. Yeah, get used to it, because I'm going to get real sincere here in about, 8 seconds, let's say. Good morning, everybody. That's also a figure of speech. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another week of broadcast excellence. That's a fact. I hope you all watched Fake Jesus. It's the Crack of Dawn report we made and published on Saturday. If you haven't seen it yet, go to YouTube, type in Martin Zender Fake Jesus, or go to my webpage, my homepage, martinzender.com, where you are now. Watch it, and watch it again. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to send you a little making of video. Got some behind the scenes stuff I think you're going to think is pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. It was intense editing, making that video. I mean, I'm not trying to get everybody to feel sorry for me or anything, but 42 hours in the chair in 3 days. So it was a tough edit, but I love it. I love taking that mess of raw footage and making it into something profound. And I think this film is profound. It gets to the basics, the false Jesus and the true Jesus. The falseness you find in church and the truth you find in everyday life. Jesus is not hanging out in the churches today. He's hanging out in the unclean places, air quotes there. You know, and in the movie, he's in the bar. So he's where you don't expect to find him. Nothing's changed. It was that way back in his day. No one found truth in the sanctuary, in the temple proper, in Jerusalem. They found it walking along the hillsides with them. They found it along the Sea of Galilee. They found it at the tax collector's office, at the whorehouse, you know, the places of ill repute. And remember, Jesus Christ was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and a friend of sinners. And because he hung out with the real people, and that's what this movie's about. And I want you to take this film, Fake Jesus, please put it on your Facebook page. Let's get this thing out there. It's a film. This is our first go at a film. It's not a teaching video per se. We made a movie, and I hope to do more of it. Someone has volunteered to buy us better equipment so we can keep doing stuff like this. So we appreciate your support. This stuff takes a lot of work. Cindy McCoy, we heard she was coming here to visit us, and immediately our thought was, we got to write her into a script. We have to make a script for Cindy McCoy. And so we did. We were brainstorming. We were talking to her on the phone a couple of nights before she got here, and this idea of two Jesuses was put forward. And so, naturally, I procrastinated. I put off the script until the day she was going to get here. I sat out at the picnic table and wrote the script for Fake Jesus. And then 2 hours later, Cindy was here. And that night, we sat around outside and did a reading, you know, just like real Hollywood production. We all read the script together. And I woke up the next morning. I'm giving you this. It's on my mind. I'll get into Hebrews chapter 9 here momentarily. I woke up that next morning just filled with dread. There were some problems with the script. Janet was saying it's too theological. You got trying to make too many theological points. And I realized she was right. So I go, crap, I'm going to have to rewrite this thing. Woke up the next morning. I knew we were going to have to get into a bar and into a church. Now, I think the bar, we had talked to the owner, and that was going to be doable, but we had no idea how we were going to get into a church. I'm going to send you a little video tomorrow. You're going to see I'm going to see an explanation of how we got into the church. We almost got kicked out of the church. You didn't hear this part in the video. You don't hear this part. Yeah. We sent Clyde, Lynn, and Cindy into a Catholic church. The first Catholic church we went to was a bust. They said, well, no, our idea was to go in right after the Mass. The only churches open on Saturday night are Catholic churches. So our idea was to go into the church right after the Mass while the doors are open, try to find somebody, get permission, say, hey, look, we just need an hour in here. We need to shoot some lines and hope nobody listened to us I hope nobody monitored us because, you know, as you know from watching the movie, Jesus is shown to be lame. The pop icon, popular Jesus, is shown to be a as Cindy says in the movie, a lame ass. So we had to show this. Anyway, though, that church was a bust. It was 5 p.m. We had done the bar scenes first, you see, so we went to St. Anthony's. Oops, I told the people there I wouldn't tell them what church it was. So forget I just said that. It's not St. Anthony's in Winbur, Pennsylvania. Okay, that's not the church. So anyway, so there are people mingling around there at St. Anthony's, and I mean not St. Anthony's. And so we sent Cindy and Clyde Lynn, because they seemed like, you know, the less they seemed like innocent, you know, cherub. They were cherubim, two cherubs, a pair of cherubim, and they were so cute and happy. We sent them in, and they were gone for 10 minutes. I said, well, this is a good sign. They might be making progress. So they come out with a priest in between them, and Clyde Lynn is drinking a cup of coffee. I said, I think we're in. You know, I think this is a good sign. So this priest waves us on in. Our Clyde and Cindy waved us over, and the whole crew got out, Aaron, me, and Nathan, and then the priest was so funny. His name was, I can't say his name. Anyway, he said, you're not a bunch of hoodlums, are you? I said, no, he is, but the rest of us aren't, pointing to Nathan. No, seriously, no. I said, no, we're not hoodlums. So I said, I'll put you in the church. Go ahead, film what you have to do, and then I'll lock up when you're done. We're thinking, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So there we are, but then things went bad after that. And I'm not going to tell you what went bad. To find out what went bad, watch my video that I'm hopefully going to get to you tomorrow. I'm going to mail it to you tomorrow. It's called The Making of Fake Jesus. Get this movie out there, please. Please link it. We got 1,000 views already in 2 days. That's pretty good. Let's get this thing some traction. So now we're in Hebrews. And thanks to everybody on that film. Thanks to Cindy McCoy, Nathan Pilkington, Aaron Locker for filming it. Clyde Lynn, you'll see him in a scene at the bar when Cindy comes into the bar. I don't even think he realizes he's in the shot because he's sitting there eating. He was like a regular patron. He helped us, you know, but then things were going slow and he just pulled up, and I don't even think he realizes he's in the movie. It's funny. So anyway, Hebrews 9. We're talking about the layout of the sanctuary here, and when you first read this, you wonder, why is Paul going into the details about the furniture in the tabernacle? Again, he's comparing the old way to the new way. He's comparing how inaccessible the God was during that era of the temple and the tabernacle, curtains and walls and everything, and comparing it to the access that the Hebrews have now with Christ. Now, they don't have near the access we have. We have access with confidence to the Father, but remember what they were used to. They were used to this long, drawn-out process to even get to him, and then only one man once a year could get to him, namely the chief priest, the high priest that year. So it's very shocking for a Hebrew to hear that there's any kind of access at all. Now, let's start reading, and then I'm going to comment. And I'm for help here, I'm using as help A.E. Nock, his notes in a concordant commentary on the New Testament. And I've told you, you need to get that. It's a really great course in the New Testament. Get it from studyshelf.com. Hebrews 9, probably going to not get much past reading it, and then we're going to comment today and tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Terrific Tuesday. What did I call this? Magic Monday? Yeah, tomorrow's going to be Terrific Tuesday. I'm sure it'll be another figure of speech. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of tired. Sorry. I was up till 5 a.m. correcting the sound on that thing Friday night on the movie. I published it to YouTube at around 9:30 p.m. Friday night, and then realized that the sound was bad. There were several reasons for it, but it's like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. So Nathan and I stayed up till 5:15 a.m. fixing the sound on that thing. I'm still reeling from that. Anyway, indeed then, chapter 9, Hebrews. Indeed then, the former tabernacle temple also had just statutes of divine service besides a worldly holy place. For the tabernacle is constructed, the front part, in which was besides the lampstand, the table also, and the showbread, which is termed the holy place. Now, after the second curtain is a tabernacle, which is termed the Holy of Holies, having the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant, covered about everywhere with gold, in which was the golden urn, having the manna and Aaron's staff, which germinates, and the tablets of the covenant. Now up over it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the propitiatory shelter, concerning which there is nothing in particular to say now. That cracks me up. You know, it almost makes me think this isn't Paul writing. I'm sure it is, but it's funny. Concerning which there's nothing in particular to say now. Well, I can't really think of anything else to say about that. which is unusual for Paul because he had lots to say about everything. So I think that's just funny wording. And I mentioned how my favorite phrase in Hebrews was, as it says in another place. It's like, okay, we can get by without a scripture reference for everything. We know it's in there. Like I always say, yeah, read the whole book of Romans, you'll find it. Verse 6, now these, having been constructed thus, the priests indeed are passing continually into the front tabernacle, performing the divine service. See, priests were allowed, the gaggle of priests were allowed in the front area. That is the holy place. This isn't the holy of holies, it's the holy place. That's the antechamber. Okay, so all the priests are allowed there, but only the high priests are allowed once a year. And there, what are they doing? Performing divine service. Yet into the second, the chief priest only, once a year, and not apart from blood. Something had to die for you to get into the presence of God. Of course, we understand the foreshadowing of that, that Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, he had to die to bring us all into access to God. You figure, why does God hate animals? He doesn't. They were killed in the most merciful manner possible. Their throats were slit. I know, I can't stand to think about it either. And blood drained, the sensation, the souls in the blood, so there was no feeling after that. And so the lesson was how valuable, how costly it is to enter into the presence of God. You can't just offer a piece of asparagus like Cain tried to do. Remember, God wanted sacrifice, and Cain brought him the fruit of the ground, but it wasn't costly enough. What does it cost you to grow a piece of asparagus or a stalk of broccoli? You needed life, you needed blood, and Abel offered the right sacrifice. God accepted it. It was a type. We see it repeated year after year, day after day in the tabernacle system, and now the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, his blood was not drained. That's the key to him. His life, we're saved by his life, by his soul, his soul. He gave up his soul. What does that mean? The soul's in the blood. It means that his blood remained in him, that he was able to, and he had to endure every pain, every infliction. It was the opposite of what they did with the animals. If his throat had been slit, much better for him. But no, his blood remained in him up until the very last. After he died, his blood was drained. But before that, he felt every single pain. And that's why you are free now in Christ. That's why you are saved. That's why the world will eventually come to the fullness of this knowledge that you and I have now. It's based on the blood of Christ. We saw it in the garden. We saw a hint of it there. We saw more hints in the tabernacle system. I'm going to get more into this tomorrow. I'm going to comment. We're going to get through chapter 9 maybe. I'm not going to brag about that because we probably won't. And we're eventually homing in on beginning on the book of Revelation. Watch Fake Jesus. If you saw it once, watch it again. And God help me, tomorrow I'm going to get the making of video for you. I love you all. Have a great Magic Monday.